Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to remember those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must henceforth be forever cast into the abyss of dead names. In this moment of our remembrance, we prove with great grief and wailing the sincerity of our noble tolerance. What we once wrongly allowed in the ignorance of white privilege has become the cleansing rite of virtue signaling we use to prove our purity. Join with me now as we remember those we've lost. Mike Richardson, the executive producer of Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune, and the man who had been selected to replace the late Alex Trebek as host of the world's greatest TV quiz show, aside from Cash Cab, obviously. Almost a decade ago, Richards made a series of bigoted and insensitive comments on an obscure podcast in what he now says was an effort to be funny. He mocked small persons, unhoused persons, non-male persons, developmentally disabled persons, and persons of Hebrew descent. Literally, almost all the persons. And yes, dear brethren, he dared to make these comments years before he even knew they were wrong. But as the 13th precept of the Oracles of Wokeness teaches us, everyone is always responsible for the potential offendedness of any future person. This point cannot be understated. We must not merely not offend in the present, we must be sure we do not offend in the future as well. Does the future not get a vote? Of course it does. And of course, pretending to hide behind the shelter of "I was trying to be funny" does not help. We have all read the approved list of comedic references well enough to know that good comedy and that which follows the rules and avoids upsetting anyone. As you might expect, some conservatives have complained that Richardson's distant past was unfairly exhumed. But we know that the successful inquisition into every comment he ever made is in fact a triumph of our modern, enlightened enforcement architecture. The significance of being on television is simply too great to not thoroughly scour the history of any aspirant before approval. Let the chaff be burned away so that only the pure may read cue cards for a living. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
The word inmates. Oh, dear brethren, it gives me great joy to tell you about the wonderful work of Dane County Sheriff Calvin Barrett and what he has done to bring equity to the incarcerated persons of Madison, Wisconsin. Sheriff Barrett recently gently encouraged, enlightened leaders don't instruct or mandate or require or speak loudly. He gently encouraged his jail staff to stop referring to convicted persons as inmates and instead begin labeling them as residents or those who are in our care. Such a clear step forward in treating all persons, even those who do not identify as persons, with more dignity, respect, and humanity is clearly an example for us all. But lest we focus too much on their place of residence, perhaps we can find even more benign forms of reference to the future reformed citizens as the wearers of Crocs, or the jumpsuit enabled, or even perhaps those for whom we cook. As the 14th precept of the Oracles of Wokeness reminds us, labels aren't the most important thing, labels are the only thing. For he who controls the words controls the world. So welcome, dear residents, to the Dane County Estates Temporary Alternate Non-Liberated Housing Cooperative for Reform. We hope you enjoy the stay. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And finally, names on football jerseys. Now that the National Forward Thinking League has realized the importance of allowing players to shed their oppressor names and instead identify themselves with a set of pre-approved freedom of speech slogans such as "Stop Hate" and "Inspire Change." Finally, the NFL is coming to realize that so long as players identify themselves with names instead of ideologies, they can never be fully freed from the shackles of family connection that prevent the full flourishing of our utilitarian ideals. In one stroke of genius, the NFL has given players the most liberating option of all: renaming themselves after nebulous and lofty concepts rather than specific and frail ancestors. When people are truly free in this manner, they begin to see themselves as mere placeholders in the pantheon of virtues, mere carriers of a symbol, cogs in the grand machine of social justice churning ever onward toward identity-free identity politics. We all look forward to the day when a fully evolved society will have no names of any kind. Employees can be referred to as their favorite social cause. Politicians will simply run for office as "Candidate It Takes All of Us Number 3. and children can be freed from the delusion that who they are matters and can simply melt into the sweet comfort of knowing they're part of the tribe who opposes tribalism. Soon, perhaps, we can also eliminate numbers on jerseys, names on schools, and even that most horrid of all sports-related horrors, the mascot. But let us leave that eulogy for another day. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, with these cleansing rites performed, may we all go forth in loving tolerance and microaggress no more. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.